This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We continue on a Unscrew Yourself Tuesday. The Gunner joined us right after the tone. I want to wake up when you are. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you smile?
Hey, what's going on?
Joining me, the man, the myth, the prince himself, All Marine Radio royalty, Michael Musselman. What is up, my friend? How are you?
Normally you give me like 30 seconds to like...
I'm in the expeditionary mode, and I'm having technical issues, so I'm live doing like stupid tricks on the air. So, yeah.
Oh.
Exactly.
That like, works.
No music, no nothing today. I'll have to fix it. I don't know. And the worst part is, you know how when you're having an issue and you're like, okay, I know how to fix that, troubleshoot it? I've never encountered this issue where something won't play, everything's right, and I don't understand it. So I got that going for me today. Anyway, what are you doing? What's going on in Texas? What are you doing? You sound like you're doing something.
I'm looking for like a brad nailer, but for staples.
You're looking for a what?
You know, like, everybody has a brad nailer, right? You got a brad nailer, right?
No. What is that? I don't know what it is.
A brad nailer. It's a nail gun that shoots brads.
What's a brad?
It's like a long cylinder finished nail. But it's, you know, they already come, like, glued together.
There's
like
a
diagonal pack.
So it's like a clip?
So you put it in the gun and go. Psh, 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 psh.
So it's a nail gun, but it's a certain type, brad.
A brad nailer, yeah,
right.
Like a brad nailer.
I have a staple gun. I don't have a nail gun. What do you need a nail gun for?
Everybody should have a nail gun.
This we know.
Do you know what you're missing out when you don't have
a nail gun? You know what? I do, because I've used them a few times, but they look like such a possibility to be used irresponsibly. I mean, you see them used in the movies irresponsibly, yes?
Right.
Right. So, I don't know. I'm just saying. It looks like it could be a very irresponsible thing waiting to happen. So, there you have it. So, what are you building?
No, what I'm doing is I'm putting the solar screens were put on yesterday on the front.
Solar screens? What does that mean?
Solar screens. You know, they reduce, they're darker screens. They look like just regular screens, but they reduce incoming UV ultraviolet light and all that. They reduce the heat like 80%. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's a great deal.
So solar.
We had that done.
We've been talking.
We had it done in the back a while ago, but then we were like, "Why didn't we get it done in the front?" So we had it done in the front.
Well, in your home, does the sun set against the back of the house? Is that why you did it?
And then, so the guy was kind of in a hurry. So my dad and I built. I didn't show it to you, but we built the insert for the front door. That big steel door that has the slidable glass, the sliding glass thing, you know, the open door for the glass.
Yeah.
So we built an oak arch, but, you know, so it would be an insert. So, because when you open that in the spring and stuff, the window in the front door, there's no screen to keep little pests out. So we built a screen with a oak trim. So I got to find my staple gun won't go through the oak, so I need to get a pneumatic staple gun. some more power behind it.
We love that.
To staple that screen to the oak.
Nice. So, all right. So that's your project for the day. That's what you're working on.
Yeah.
Right. You
proving to be a freaking pain in the ass.
Why? It sounds like a pretty generic item to go and buy. No.
Yeah, you would think, but I need to find. I don't need a huge industrial one, because then that's too big a staples, and I don't want to ruin the oak. So now I have to find kind of one that's in between, but I can't find one. You'd think they're by the Bradnailers. They're not by the Bradnailers.
So are you going to ask for
are you
going to ask for help, or are you one of those people that doesn't ask for help?
You what?
Are you going to ask for help, or are you one of those people that doesn't ask for help?
No, I do. I was just on the phone with you. Hang on.
Okay. Gunner at either Home Depot or Lowe's.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of which are in Granbury, Texas.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. So
I have Bosch, but I mean, hang on.
Go figure that.
Yeah. I'm just looking for a staple.
Small town has one of each. Yeah. So I'm telling you, Granbury, big city.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm still listening.
Big, small city.
You got
both Lowe's and Home Depot's. Which one are you at? Or are you at someplace else?
Lowe's. I'm at Lowe's.
See? He's at Lowe's. He could go to Home Depot. Two big stores in a small town. Nothing but big in Granbury, Texas.
I know.
So we making any progress? What's going on? I can smell the smoke.
Huh?
I can smell the smoke burner. Are we making any progress?
Yeah, I found a stapler. We
don't want a staple, though. We want nails, man. What's going on?
Okay.
I'm not sure I like this.
Yeah, this looks like a brand nailer. Okay. Yeah, okay. What is this at? And I just need to get staples and I'm out of there. So, what else is going on, man?
Nothing. We're just waiting for you to get your gun.
Got it. Thank you.
Did he finally unscrew you? So you're good now?
Yeah, I'm good. Half inch. I just need half inch.
Half inch.
I need half inch staples.
You can find those. Wait a minute. We're back to staples. I thought that we were. I thought we were going for nails.
You what? Okay, I got my my staple gun.
I thought we were going for nails, man. Why are we down to staples now?
Okay, so the guy was helping me. I said, hey, I'm looking for a staple gun. You kind of heard me say that, right?
I did hear that.
So we're standing in front of, there's like a whole display of different types of pneumatic guns.
Right.
So he kind of looks at me like, and does the presentation, with his hand like that was smart ass.
Like you're stupid?
You're like, yeah, well, like this, like, sure, the whole, like when I said nail gun or staple gun, he just kind of did the, like, which one? They're all over the place. I said, a staple gun. So he's looking, and then he points out all like this, and I said, no, it's a Bradner. And I said, no, it's still a nail gun. And he looked, and finally, I'm the one that pointed out and said, that's a staple gun right there. Oh, yeah, here's a, like, what a, if you don't know what you're doing, dude, don't act like you know what you're doing.
So he gave you the you're stupid?
Yeah, when I asked.
There you go.
He did carry staple gun. He did the, but he did, like, the Ta-Da show, the Vanna White with the hand, like, to open the curtain, like, don't you see what's over my shoulder?
Huh?
They're like, okay, then which one do you want? Point one out. No, that's a nail gun. No, that's a nail gun. No, here, I found it. Here's a staple gun.
So now you're going to have to take over the indoctrination program at Lowe's and unscrew that too?
Yeah.
Right.
You're like, you know what? If you're going to be a smartass, at least have your shit together.
You know what? There's a difference between a smartass and a dumbass, okay?
That was a dumbass.
That was a dumbass.
Yeah, that was a classic dumbass. See, I'm a smartass, but I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, and there's nothing worse than a dumbass who tries to be a smart.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Who tries to be a smartass. That's just not a good combination.
Nope.
As you could see, now Mike's a dissatisfied customer. Although
no, I mean, I like, this is where my daughter works, so.
You still like the store, so you're a Lowe's guy?
Yeah, I like the people here. It's just, sometimes they can be a little annoying.
All right, so when, what's the time frame on this project? You're going to get it done today? First of all, solar window covering, So
like I said, we're not replacing your screens on your door or windows.
Right.
You're adding more to your. Hey, how are you doing? Yeah, good to see you.
Mike Musselman.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
At Lowe's.
All right. Well, I'll see you soon. I'll see you.
At Lowe's. Seeing friends now. Visiting,
okay.
Visiting with people.
Good thing about being a small town.
Exactly.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. The Okay, so explain solar screen.
No, everybody. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, bro.
Huh?
I just said I'm good. Thanks, bro.
No, I saw some more people there. Yeah, they were waiting on me.
I knew that. I was goofing because I was filling air. So you're still explaining the solar screen.
Okay, so the solar screen's cut out 80%, 85%. Of the heat in your house. So if you want to, you're looking for another way to keep, you know, the bills down, then I would look at getting solar screens. Dude, I'm telling you, they're not expensive. Shit, you can almost do it yourself. I just didn't want to. But it's really easy. You know, and like I said, it really, really makes a difference. It's crazy how much of a difference.
Let me tell you, and if you live in Heatland, that stuff is gold because everybody's had instances. My in-law's house, man, the sun would beat on that house all day. You try to sleep at night, the fan going. They didn't have any air conditioning. Fan going.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
It's just miserable. Just miserable. And try to get used to it, but
it's
like sleeping. So anyway, so yeah, especially if you have a nice house. So, but the screen goes over both window panes on the exterior part of the house, or how does it work?
The screen goes over, so they fabricate the screens, right? And it's like one piece. So I'll take a picture of it and send it to you. So. Well, in one arc window in the front, that's two pieces, actually. But that's how that works. So it's two pieces, or one piece, and then they attach it to the frame.
That's cool.
And then, so it looks aesthetic. it looks aesthetic, you know, looks nice. It makes the room really dark and comfortable.
And cool.
My Lowe's number? 817.
Uh-oh.
771.
All right.
5004.
Ooh. Gunner just gave out a cell number.
What's that?
You just gave out your cell number to everybody. Do you want me to bleep that out later?
The my Lowe's number.
Oh.
10470. But you've never seen him before?
No, I don't think I have.
I would do it. Even in where you're at, California.
No, just, you know what? To me, if it's just windows, see, it depends what your house is made out of, right? The houses that I saw where Mike lives are mostly made of masonry, brick, sandstone. I mean, there are a lot of stone houses, which is great insulation. California.
Yeah.
Right? Stucco homes.
Makes it real cool.
Yeah, sun beats on that wall all day. The whole wall is hot. So I don't know. But if you have the appropriate materials, I think then the solar screen is the way to go because your house is very well insulated. Well, you were telling me, tell a story about the kind of insulation that's in your house.
Well, it's just foam. It's spray-in, so it's like I forget the R factor, but it's like a super high. It's a pretty high R factor. So insulation is rated by R factor, you know. So I think it's, God, I can't remember, but it's the higher the number or the lower number, one of the two. But that's how you determine the R factor of energy. You know, changing energy. So what they do is a lot of homes in Texas are built with 2x6s, with 2x4s, because a 2x6 gives you more space for insulation. Someone was thinking there. So the home is built with 2x6s, so the walls are actually thicker, and they're filled with foam. And normally what you see is the foam spraying is on the exterior walls, the walls that are facing the outside. But our house has and rolls every wall, even in the interior walls, is filled with foam. And it's that, like I said, it's that expanding, spray it in. They expand and dry, and then they shave it down to fit the drywall. And then put the sheetrock up, drywall, and that's how you have it. But then they put a cap. So the attic, the living space is capped with foam. So if you go in the attic and you look down, the whole, it looks like an igloo cooler. Our house is built like an igloo cooler, you know, a thermal igloo cooler, where you have the outer shell, which is the skin of the house, the inner shell, or the inner insulation, and it's just spray foam, and then the inner shell being the drywall. So it's just like a cooler, even in the attic. It's capped off with spray foam, and then they put, like, there's like 3 feet of insulation blown in.
Mike was telling me a story about trying to run wires from his TV into the wall and then down, and because
I like to hide my TV cables.
Right.
So
and,
when I did, I usually just cut into the drywall for the box, drop the wires through. In some rare cases, even if you hit a 2x4, you can drill through it. You know, and put a hole through it, and then pull the wires through, and then just run it down to where we need it, the junction box, drill the other receiving box, and then pull the wires through it. High hidden wires. It's really easy. I used to do a speaker wire before wireless speakers, of course, but when we used to have wired speakers, I wired my whole house to have little port boxes on the back side that you could just attach to, like two terminals. Attach a speaker wire, and it was already hidden in the house, running to all over the wherever I put the speakers.
You know, so anybody
when
who
I did that,
yeah.
I ran into foam and trying to cut through foam. Oh, it was like an all-day affair, and maybe the next day, just to get like 24 inches of a tunnel built. But that foam is so hard.
How did you get through the foam at that having to go through the drywall?
I built a flexible drill bit.
Whoa.
So
that's
what
impressive.
I did was, huh?
That's impressive. That's impressive.
So,
because
yeah, what I did was I built, you know, I took, you know, those little claw things that you depress and the little claw sticks at the end and you grab.
Yes.
And it's like just not the, yeah, it's just coiled metal, you know, and it's bendable and flexible. So I had broken one of those. I took it apart, used the bendable outer sheet, which is just coiled metal, and then cut the top off. So I had a whole working, basically bendable shaft. And then what I did is I attached, sandpaper, you know, large amounts of it around the whole shaft leading to the bed, and then brought it in there so I could drill down, so I could bore, and it took a while, because I had to bore it down, and then I ran out of space, and I had to go from the bottom up, boring it with the drill bit, with the cordless drill. It worked. I mean, it made the tunnel exactly the same. Because you don't want to make it too small, because, I mean, I was pulling through, like, you know, power cord, an HDMI cable, digital optic cable. I mean, some other stuff. You don't want to damage it, so you want to have it a little bit larger than you really need it.
There you have it. Gunner does home improvements. That's one. Are you, once you start, are you like, okay, I've crossed the line of departure on this. This thing, I don't know what it's going to take, but this thing can't.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
When I start a project, I'm like laser focused.
I will not be defeated by this wall and this phone.
As my saying goes, if it was beat by man, it can be conquered by man. So, like, a mountain, of course, we didn't build a mountain. So, thus, we have to go and conquer mountains. And sometimes they fight, like, kick back, and you don't always win. But, like, anything else, built by man, I can be conquered by man.
All right, here's an email for you. Good morning, Mac and Gunner. Thanks for taking the time yesterday to respond to my parade questions. The Battle Streamer information was especially interesting. Bev in Saskatchewan. What? How about that?
She said what?
Her name is Bev. She lives in Saskatchewan.
Right.
She listens? Yeah. She's the one that watched the parade on DVIDs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, ask those questions. So, anyway, we're international, Just so everybody knows. Almarine Radio, crushing it.
So now I'm in Walmart.
Uh-oh, be careful. The Walmart crowd, not like your basic store.
Like I said, you.
Yeah, don't worry
this
about
Walmart
it.
This Walmart crowd is not as crazy as the one in Lake Forest.
A couple of email questions I got after we got off the air. Hey, Mac, when you get a chance, ask the gunner what's the most amazing thing he's ever seen on a rifle or shooting range?
On a shooting range.
If I say, hey, what's the craziest thing, the most amazing thing you've ever seen, what would you say?
On a shooting range.
Yes.
I saw supermodel in a bikini holding a gun, taking pictures in Las Vegas, and then we went to dinner. So that was probably the most craziest thing ever that happened on a shooting range.
Did she actually shoot the weapon, or was she just posing with it?
Huh?
Did she fire the weapon, or was she just posing with it?
No, they were just using her candid looks and her knowledge about guns. This chick didn't even know what end of the gun came out. But bullet came out. So how it worked out was, I had discovered her, by the way, just to let you know, her and her friend. It didn't take much discovering.
Yeah.
We were at a party. Big gun maker there, not going to mention his name, but he makes guns, and they're made in Austria, Germany, and then they're black in design. So they were... There's a big party, SHOT Show was going on, and these two girls were in there, and we were talking, and I introduced them to a buddy of mine who was looking to build a calendar, and so we made a deal, and then the next day we picked them up, went out to the desert, and I picked them up and went out to the desert, and it was funny because she was like, you know, only in this business will you get in a car and a total stranger in Las Vegas and drive out to the desert in a bikini.
True.
I said, yeah, that's...
That is probably
I never thought of it like that. I mean, it's pretty brave.
All right. How about on a Marine Corps or a military range? What's the craziest thing you've ever seen?
I saw a buffalo at range 210.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to move. Or was it actually American bison.
Right.
Still, regardless, they're big. He's got big horns. They're ornery. They don't have a good temper. And we woke him up. You know, it was like the Marines were like, you know, bitching about him being around. I'm like, dude, this is his house, okay? We're in his house. This is his ancestral home. And don't get upset because, you know, because they were pissed off because we couldn't shoot. We had to wait till Game Ward came out there. Old Frank. Do you remember Frank?
No.
I don't think. Retired sergeant major. Good guy, man. He's a little short Mexican guy. One of the best Game Wards ever ran into. But anyway, Frank came out, got the noisemaker shotgun out, and shot the rounds, you know, the little sparkler things out, and scared them away. So that was probably the craziest thing.
Could you explain to everybody? Yeah, could you explain to everybody the see, Mike, that's your inner Native American coming out. You don't even know it. You didn't even know it at the time.
I'm what?
That was your inner Native American coming out. 18%, man. You didn't even know it.
Yeah.
Just speaking to you.
It's like it just comes naturally, I guess.
It does. It comes
Well, you know, I mean,
genetically,
people with talent, that talent comes out naturally.
Eventually.
Forces.
People with inner Americans, with Native American, that Native American comes out eventually. So, anywho, there was one other question. It was kind of the same question. What gets you excited to do on a range? So you've been shooting now for a long time in your life. And
it's going to be a little hectic right here because I'm checking out.
Okay. All right. So.
So I'm at Walmart, and the lady that here that I always go through the same checkout, so I know the lady, and it's her birthday today.
How do you know it's her birthday?
Because she just said it.
Oh, what's her name?
That's a dead giveaway. Yolanda.
Yolanda, how old is she?
I don't know.
Yolanda,
is your birthday today? Oh, so it's one of those days. It's a happy, I'm feeling really happy day. Every day is my birthday. Do you hear her?
No. I can't. I can only hear you.
Yeah, everybody's sweetie. Yeah. Can I get a... I just need a roll of winter of Copenhagen. The normal, Yolanda. Give me the usual. The one roll. Yeah. The normal. I remember. Don't tell the wife. No. Is that? No. The wintergreen. Long cut. Yeah, the whole roll. Okay, go ahead.
No, okay, here's the second question. Let me know when you're ready for the second question. Gunner's checking
the
out.
The technical question?
Well, no, it's not a technical question. It's another kind of personal opinion question.
Yeah, whole roll. Okay, go ahead, technical question up.
Okay, the second question is, you've shot for a long time. Mike, 31 years in the Marine Corps, been shooting longer than that.
Right.
Okay. What kind of shooting do you get excited to do after shooting for so long? What kind of shooting?
You're really choppy. Good
tip. I'm choppy.
Yeah, it sounds like you're in it's just choppy.
It might be you.
No, I'm full bars. 4G.
I'm full bars. So what's up?
Yeah, okay. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Okay, so here's the question.
Modern technology, we can't even talk normal.
The question is, you've been shooting for a long time. Mike Musselman today, what kind of shooting gets him excited to do?
What kind of what?
What kind of shooting gets you excited to do?
Shooting people, real people.
Stop.
I'm just kidding. He's looked at me like, when I said that, shooting people, real people. These ladies have big eyes, like sitting on a little bench.
Yeah,
oh, no, I'm just kidding.
They're all reaching for their phone.
But really, I wasn't kidding. No,
seriously. Okay, other than that, we'll disregard the last answer. Okay. What?
Yeah, real people. I mean, because that's what you train for. That's what you, that's the, I guess, the real sport of it, I guess, right? You ask a deer hunter what it's like doing the best when he's deer hunting. Well, shooting a deer, of course. Not out stalking it. Or sitting in a tree freezing his ass off.
No, I can't accept that answer. What?
What do you mean? Shooting real people? Is
yeah,
that a good?
No, it's not a good answer.
Why is that a good answer?
Well, because it's, okay, let's talk about this. Short of shooting real people and doing what you've trained a lot for in your life, when you go to a range, what gets you excited? What kind of shooting gets you excited?
No, I mean, in range, I don't like shooting at ranges.
I know you don't. So what kind of shooting gets you excited? You've done it forever. So when you talk about going and shooting,
either okay, long range, extreme long range.
Like what's extreme long range?
I like
to you?
That. Like more than 1,000 meters.
What's the longest? What's the longest you've ever shot at on a range?
The longest I ever shot at, and it was hitting a target consecutively?
Or missing.
Not just like, well, then, shit, you know, if it's missing, then it's maximum range, you know, 4,000 meters. But, no, like, shooting at something and actually hitting it, probably about, I think I was at 1,650, 1,675 yards.
1,650, 1,675. Whoa.
Yards, yeah. Not meters, yards.
So what? So why do you find that? Why do you find that so interesting?
Because it's hard.
Not
I
easy.
Mean, you got to really, you know, just the slightest movement, the slightest trigger pull that is incorrect, the slightest, you know, adjustment, your sight is out of line with your eye. Just, you know, an inch, you know, just. Whatever that slight problem is, you know, that bullet it's just gone. It's accentuated by range. Easy. So, I mean, each time you pull that trigger and then you hit that plate and you get that audible, you know, that steel, bang, when the way in the distance, that was a perfect shot. I mean, that was perfect. That was what you were trained to do. You just did it. That's cool.
You like that?
Yeah, and I think the other part is when I do from the holster, you know, I'll do from the holster and shoot on the target in 1.8 seconds.
From the holster.
So
you're simulating.
So I'm concealed.
Right. Being somewhere.
Sweep, pull, yeah. Sweep, clear the holster, break, and fire. Boom. 1.8 seconds.
1.8. So those
when I pull that off and I do that on a regular basis, that makes me feel good. But it doesn't always happen. I mean, so when I start, you know, you got a couple boxes of ammunition. I start and, you know, I'm at 2.5, 2.2, you bust 2 seconds. And then it's like freaking a hurdle, man. I mean, it is like the last push to the summit of Everest and you have no more oxygen. That last 0.2 seconds is like impossible. You'll break like 1.92, 1.87. You're like, oh, come on. 1.85, 1.97. You're like, oh, please, just this time. And then you crack it, 1.8, 1.79, 1.77. You're like, yes, I'm in the groove. And then it lasts long as you're training, and then it goes away. That's cool.
Interesting. I would, it's interesting. People want to know, again, you've been shooting, you know, for the majority of your life, and for a lot of it professionally.
Yeah.
And so now, for a guy with that kind of experience, what does he find exciting? Interesting, kind of an interesting little question.
I hate shooting just targets. I really do. I just can't stand it. It drives me absolutely batshit crazy, man.
So to go out to a range and put up a target and walk back and shoot it and then walk up and look at the...
If I shoot it, yeah, if I shoot it once, I'm done. If I, you know, I'll take my M4 out. Take out the case, throw a couple rounds in the magazine, lean back, you know, usually three rounds, take a deep breath, relax, let it out, pull the trigger, and then, bam, 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 I get on my binos or my spotting scope, I look, my group's, you know, a nickel or a dime, and it's all right where I want it, right where I was aiming. I put my gun in the case and watch everybody else shoot. I'm done. I mean, do I want the rounds touching? A dime is good enough. A nickel's good enough. That group is devastating. I don't need to get them, like, all in one hole. Oh, you know, you're really good when you get them all in one hole. Really? What am I shooting, a bee? And the bee takes three rounds to drop it? What are you talking about? Why? Yeah. Why do you got to make them all touching? What's the whole sense of that?
That's a super bee. Yeah, what's the point of that? Is it the point to hit him in the torso?
What am I hunting him? They're silly. Like, I've asked that. You know, what are you hunting, a bug?
Well, let me tell you, if I'm hunting bugs, I got a shot. I got a shot because, you know, you figure a bug, simply the turbulence of the round going by, that's going to be, I mean, you've seen those things with, you know, Maverick gets in the jet wash, and look what it did to him. Actually, not him, but Goose. A bullet going by, a mosquito, if you're shooting a bug or a ladybug. Can you imagine a little ladybug just flying around, minding her own pretty little business, all of a sudden a round goes past her? What that does to the aerodynamics of the ladybug? She's down.
Right.
Ladybug is down. Ladybug down.
Yeah.
All right. That's
a good code word.
What? Ladybug down?
Yeah.
I like that.
Enter the building on ladybug down. That's the brevity code word for enter the building.
When was the last time
ladybug is down.
When was the last time you were at the basic school?
You what?
When was the last time you've been to the basic school in Quantico?
When
you were
3 years.
Student?
Okay, so last time I was in Quantico. I think I may have been there for a meeting before I got out. So maybe 2014. Yeah, I'd say 2014. Like, yeah, it was. It was actually this November, just before Thanksgiving, 2014.
If you haven't been back there in a while, or you've never been there, man, they have done a whole lot of construction, and that place is pretty nice. Like a lot of stuff around the Marine Corps has changed. Mike and I were talking about the changes at Camp Lejeune and the basic school, man. I'd never been in the classrooms. I'd driven by it when.
I've seen all the new stuff, yeah.
Oh, my God, man. It is. You talk about a beautiful place to instruct and that has all the different things you would like.
It's a professional learning center now.
Oh, man. It's awesome.
I went to the basic school when it was just like, you know,
ghetto.
A piece of shit classroom with just the tiers going up. The same one you went through with the big screen.
Right.
Now it's all state-of-the-art. Yeah, monitors, comfortable,
it's
great
pretty,
classrooms.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Guided discussion rooms, you know. You had to find an empty broom closet last time.
Yeah, no kidding. And then we got one of our boys, Bronzy, who was an instructor there, as well as a student. But his Silver Star Award is on the wall there, and pretty motivating.
It is?
Yeah, pretty motivating. See the old Bronze?
Did he do that?
He
did. Oh, man.
he put his own.
You know Bronze, he hates having that thing up there, dude.
I know.
I know he does.
He doesn't. He's a normal guy. Well, he's not normal. He's a great guy, but he's a normal guy.
If you run into Bronze before you leave, tell him, hey, Gunner, I was talking to Gunner. Gunner wants a picture of you standing next to your Silver Star Canyon at Haywood Hall.
No, he'll look at me like, what is wrong with you? Why would you ask me that?
I know.
Yeah, he'll be like, Mac, what would you do, get stupid all of a sudden? Why would you say that?
No, first thing he would do is go, ha!
which is, you know what, we're at the change of command last Thursday night, and he's sitting, I don't know how many rows behind me. And, you know, you're always, and I'm talking to another friend of ours, a guy by the name of Don Wright, who's sitting next to me. And so we're talking about something, and all of a sudden from six rows back, you hear this laugh that Mike just did. Rah! And he just stops and looks at me and goes, Bronzy. I'm like, yeah, you can't shut that dude up even in public. But he's got a very distinct laugh, pretty funny. And you hear it buildings away, and quite a distance.
Yeah,
away. So,
sure, sir.
And everybody always does the same thing. They look and they just laugh and they're like, Bronzy. But he's an American war hero. He's an American war hero. And more than that, he's a great guy. He's a great leader. He's a great Marine. So.
Well, and I hate to, I don't like to, and Bronzy probably agree with me. The Silver Star does not make him a war hero. We have a lot of war heroes that never got a war.
Well, yeah,
guys,
let me tell you.
Were never recognized.
He's a war hero.
So those
and it
that
does,
are listening,
and it doesn't have anything
to get an award. You are a hero too.
It doesn't have anything to do with the Silver Star.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. He and his Marines.
Well, I don't want people to get to this whole like. No, it has, listen. What we're saying is, you don't have to have an award. To be a hero. We say that as kind of a term of endearment when we say he's an American war hero.
Yeah, he. Let me tell you, what those guys did in Ramadi in 2004, and Mike was in Ramadi, and if you saw what they did, we didn't shoot supporting arms, we didn't have up armored Humvees. And those guys, those Marines from, he was company commander of Golf 2-4. Those guys went out there every day and got it on. And they're studs. And if you're around them, it was awesome to be around them. So, anyway.
Yeah.
But he's a great guy. He's the most humble, one of the most humble people you've ever met. But loves Marines and loves leading Marines. And going to get another chance. Just got selected to be the commanding officer of the 11th MEO. So congratulations to him. And it's awesome. Good for him. All right. What else on your agenda for today? Anything? The window. Are you going to finish the window today?
Yeah. All I got to do is staple it on.
Oh. Yeah, but, you know, when you just say all I have to do, you know what, somebody sent me this, and I meant to talk about it, but I was having technical issues earlier. Proposal that Marines have 4 years of service before entering the infantry. Okay?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, all right, let me read it a little bit from an article that got sent to me. It would seem to make more sense to raise the minimum age of enlistment from 21 to 21 or 22 for everyone and assign Marines to each MOS as the need of the Marine Corps requires and the ability of the recruits allow. No real change from current practice except to start older, more mature, with recruits who are likely to be better fit for any MOS than younger people. The real benefit to the Corps would be to use the additional years before enlistment to filter out many of those who would otherwise be a drain on the resources of the Marine Corps due to bad behavior. Civilian arrest and conviction for theft, drug, alcohol, and other offenses during the 4 years after high school would bar enlistment for many who would otherwise offend while in the Marine Corps, and a lot of unfortunate early marriages that cause young Marines and the unit so much stress would have been dissolved before enlistment. So do you think it – let me just ask you this. If the Marine Corps – if the Marine Corps could swing it, do you think it would be – do you think it would be good to recruit infantry Marines from population of first-term enlistees? Do you think that would be a good thing, or do you think it would be a bad thing? If the Marine Corps...
I think it's a bad thing.
Why?
Because if me personally,
yes,
said, you know, I enlisted to be in the infantry. I joined the Marine Corps to be in the infantry. So if they would come back to me and say, okay, you got it, but you got to serve X amount of years, like, as an admin clerk or whatever. You know, come on. What am I going to say?
I'll join the Army.
Yeah, goodbye.
Yeah, Rangers, hey, Rangers lead the way. Hua, follow me.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think I think that institutionally, right? Yeah, you'd be like, oh, what do you mean? More mature, less personnel problems, more focused? Yeah, let's do it. But I think
because the other MSs don't have any problems either.
Because but
they're imbeciles as well.
With no, but I'm talking about just older Marines that have been through and kind of got through the stupid phase of, you know, being young and all of that. It sounds, I mean, in theory, yes. All right. In practice, does it work? Could you do it?
No, it'd
be hard.
Cock shit.
Yeah. It'd be hard.
It makes no sense.
It'd be hard. I don't see how practically you do it. I understand in theory that it you would, yeah, you're, because let me tell you, that's how our reconnaissance battalions all select out of first termers that have kind of gone through and whatnot. And
well, so, I don't see neither.
You don't see what?
I don't see the practical, nor do I see the you know, I don't see any benefit other than someone writing a bullshit story just to get it published.
You don't see any benefit at all for taking older Marines that have already completed an enlistment and shown that they, you know, are stable people?
No.
I do.
Because the problem is not the infantry.
Wait a minute.
What is the problem? Why are we focused on infantry? Why do we need more mature infantrymen? We have mature infantrymen. We also have immature infantrymen.
Yeah.
But what my point is, every MOS, including all the officer corps, has a bunch of, you know, idiots as well.
Okay. So?
You can't fix stupid. This is trying to fix stupid.
I'll have to give that some thought today.
In order for this to actually, I mean, you'd have to know what stupid looks like.
Yeah, but I can screen
how
stupid.
How it's dressed, where it's going, so you can intercept stupid before it gets there.
I can I'm screening stupid for 3 to 4 years, and so I'm getting less stupid. I can't eliminate it, but I'm getting less stupid.
Okay, so what you're saying is,
yes,
because of the fact that infantrymen do more stupid things than all other MOSs?
Well, no, my comment is, if this system was implemented, right?
But why?
Well, no, we're going to leave but why aside. I'm saying I get less stupid because I've screened for stupid. The stupidest have been eliminated. So I get less stupid right off the bat.
If you got rid of everything that was stupid in the Marine Corps, 20% of the whole Corps would be gone.
20?
Oh, yeah.
How about, like, 60?
But here's the difference, Mac. In my fear, in my mind,
your
20%, of that 20%, 85% comes from E6 and above.
We're not talking about them. We're not
screening
them.
They've already
them.
Been in, so they're perpetuating stupidity.
Ooh.
You can't get rid of those guys. That's how people learn to be stupid. It's a learned behavior. So that's the argument between, are you stupid? Is it nurturing or naturing?
Oh.
Are you nurtured? Are you raised to be stupid? Or are you just born stupid? No, you're raised to be stupid.
Oh, I hate that. Stop with that, man. Can't you, like, put a happy face?
You got to apply it in the nature versus nurture.
Okay,
so what did it fall under?
So if I asked,
stupid is not nature.
If I asked you if you could be a genie and you could descend on the Marine Corps and you could fix one personnel issue, what would that fix be?
One personnel issue?
Yeah, one and like one genre. You could make a modification to the Marine Corps to fix something. What would the modification be?
I'd make E5 the highest rank. And like you said, I'd put another lieutenant in the platoons.
Now I'm going to get drugged down that hole because I gave him a solution.
Yeah, that's actually a good solution.
We're driving.
It's such a stupid solution, it raises the argument of what must be wrong.
And the issue is, we have, Mike articulated it last week, but for instance, when in infantry units, we have lieutenants that can't have a conversation with their senior enlisted subordinate because he can't participate in the conversation. He's too far ahead. So, Marine Corps's got a huge problem in the area of enlisted education. And we don't mean going to the academy and learning leadership and, you know, and when to put...
No, the Naval Academy, because they're all about leadership at the academy.
Putting mop and glow on your... When to put mop and glow on your boots and how to make sure that you don't get your parking spot taken away. We're not talking about that stuff. We're talking about MOS credibility, knowledge, so that you're an expert. You are a no-shit expert, and you can participate.
So the argument, the counter-argument that was given to me when we were in the gym, we were talking about that with Dave. Dave said this. Dave said, you know, Tom, the problem I see, though, is not the lieutenants aren't that great either. They lack the whole leadership. They can't lead. And so I backed right at him. I said, because you have idiot captains in charge of them.
Uh-oh. And why do we have idiot captains?
That was an idiot lieutenant that had to do both jobs because he had a bullshit staffing CO that couldn't pull his weight. So now he had to be both mom and dad. You know, a single parent raising, you know, 45 kids. So, yeah, of course he's screwed up. He doesn't know where his ass from a hole in the ground. He doesn't know if he's coming or going.
Well,
I get that.
Here's what I hear. I hear it's the whole, and again, it makes it sound like dinosaurs, and I don't really like that sound. But if you ask my son's peers, all right, and you could ask my sons too, but I would say, well, they're my sons, so what do they know? But if you ask their peers, because I ask them, they say discipline. This just basic. Mike said your EDL, which is your equipment list. Okay, this is what I go to the field with, and it's
equipment density list.
And most of them are things you have to sign for. Okay, it's not like I've got two MREs. That ain't on the EDL. Okay, all right, it's the stuff you're responsible for. Can't do that. It's a project to get that done on a consistent basis. Showing up at formation on time, just doing the basics, more and more difficult. And so that's not me saying it because I'm not around it anymore. I don't know. That's them saying it. What's the biggest problem?
But that same discipline as cop out.
Okay, why?
Okay, well, give me discipline in what way? They don't shave, shower, shit right?
Yes, yes.
What kind of discipline?
Yes, yes, yes. Your room looks like your room's disgusting. Your equipment's not kept.
Then I look right back after them and say, then what are you doing? Because complacency never kills anybody. Poor leadership allows complacency to thrive. Thus, it kills.
Oh, I'm with you.
So,
I'm with you.
I hate when people go, oh, it's discipline.
Right.
Okay, like what? Oh, you know, they don't get their haircut. Who's their boss?
I am.
And when you say, go get a haircut, what do they do? Don't get it?
Yeah, man. They just don't listen to me.
Well, you're
saying.
Do you remember the comment? Oh, my God. Hold on. You still there? Damn it. Wait a second. Here he's back. Okay. Do you remember the conversation we had where – are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Do you remember when – I think it was you and I and maybe Patrick were talking, and I had you kind of go over when you were a squad leader, go through your day. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And so Mike said, well, you know, I'd get to the barracks between 5 and 5:30. You know, I'm on my second cup of coffee. I'm walking in rooms. I'm looking at people, getting the drunks out of bed, making sure they're moving right. We're going to go PT. We go PT, come back, shower, go to chow. You know, Mike kind of walks
through. And we're back by 7:30 formation. Yeah.
Right. I'm not finding out at formation what's going on because that's the first time I've seen my Marines. And my son said, yeah, that doesn't happen anymore.
Why? The question is, why doesn't it? That happened when you were a lieutenant, Mac, right?
Yep.
Happened when you were a company commander?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if it didn't happen when you were a company commander, what'd you do?
I would kill somebody.
Yeah.
Because it would take...
Not in the literal sense, but we say we kill somebody, meaning that when we're done with them, they wish they were dead.
Yeah. It would be so... Because, first of all, it would take you about 3 days of that kind of nonsense to notice, right? Nasty uniforms, right? Back in the day when we used to polish boots, you know, they would just be nasty, right? And somebody would notice something. And you say, what is going on? And why don't you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I used to take, I wouldn't fight with people. What I would do is we would go on runs. We would do like, from Horno, when I was at Horno at 1-1, you know, like, if they didn't listen, they didn't do things right, the punishment was, let's go to our PT ground. And then we would run from Horno through the Dry Riverbed to Santa Ana Fray out to Red Beach, or now is the club and everything where you used to be out there.
Right.
We'd go back and forth on the beach in the deep sand. And then we'd take our shoes off, take our t-shirts off, and we'd go swim in the ocean just past, like, the point.
Right.
And that's about maybe a half mile out and then a half mile back, so about a mile swim. Put the stuff back on and then run back. And then if they were still being stupid, like, because a lot of them were in really good shape back then.
Right.
You know, so it was like, oh, you know what? Let's take the shortcut home, boys. And we would take a right and we'd head up the Alpha Shell. And you would see them like, oh, shit.
Describe what that is.
The Alpha Shell is sea level to, like, I don't know, 3,000, 4,000 feet straight up. And it's the shelf. We call it the Alpha Training Area. It's a big ridge line, the Horno Ridge, the Horno Mountains right there. It's a big mountain range. And it goes literally from sea level right up this finger. And you can take a trail, and it goes right to the ridge. And when you get in the ridge, it's this thick moon dust because there's fire breaks, you know, to keep the fire from spreading. So we'd run the fire breaks, run the ridge line, and you're going up and down, up and down, up and down. You look like a freaking cardiac patient, you know, EKG. And then by the time we would get back, they got it. And so it would be like, hey, we screw up again tomorrow like that? Not only do we do that, but we keep going. You know, we'll run out to Las Pulgas. And if that's not far enough, we'll run up to Cave Springs. You know, we'll run Powerline Road. We'll go up to 5th Marines, go take a visit to 5th, our sister regiment out there, and then go down Powerline Road, and then go up to Cave Springs, come all the way back down Roblar, and back to 1st Marines. We should be back. We leave tomorrow morning at 07. We should be back with our run about 1700.
And,
you know, and they would look at you like.
So, yeah, that's how it used to work. That was 101. That's the way everybody or most guys did it because they were around guys like Mike, right? They saw how it was done. So that's what they did. But.
Yeah. Get strong or get smart.
I don't know.
I can't make you smart, but I can sure make you strong.
I don't know if. They've got their rights now, Mike. And with those rights comes, like, you can't harass me, you can't do this, you can't do that. I don't know. But I would
say, what rights are we talking about?
I don't know. I don't know that either. But I think that's an issue, that whole discussion. You can't do this to me. You can't say that to me. He's hazing me. Trust me, if they got hazed, they wouldn't know what to do. Because the shit they call hazing.
Oh, if you got hazed? Yeah.
The shit they call hazing now is nothing.
Yeah. Speaking in profanity is
not
hazing.
Hazing. But they get the.
Walking around your squad bay with a sea bag tied around your body with just your little legs sticking out and then, you know, freaking bees shoved up your ass or whatever they're doing that day.
That's
hazing,
that's
boys,
hazing
and
boys and girls. Yep. So, yeah, yeah. Anyway, all right, man. I will let you go. Thank you very much for the conversation. Always interesting.
Yeah, and that made me mad that you got this whole we can't do anything about this. Just disband it. Walk away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get rid of it.
But that's
contract it out. Yeah.
That's what you're. But that's the response I get most often. Like, yeah. Yeah. If it,
I'm glad I was still in when it was still a Marine Corps.
Well, yeah, when it could get stupid and medieval, like, yeah, it's going to get dark in here pretty soon, boys and girls, because we're missing it. And things got corrected. Things got corrected. And people had power to correct it. And again, Mike was saying something that is perfectly along those lines. I love you so much that I'm going to train you to be an incredible warrior. That's what I'm going to train you. I'm not going to allow you to put your own life in jeopardy, to put my life in jeopardy and everybody else's life in jeopardy, because you won't be trained and you won't know your job. So that's how I'm going to show you my love, not by being easy on you. Okay?
Right.
And that's what we're talking about. So anyway, no, it is frustrating, but such is life. All right, man. Well, good luck with the screen.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right. There you have it. Michael Musselman here. And that'll do it. On a Tuesday from Quantico, Virginia. Don't touch that dial. This program repeats itself momentarily. Some technical issues today, but in the process of working those out. And I don't even rightly know what the technical issues were. So I got to find that out on a Tuesday. All Marine Radio, over and out.